sure, I invited her to my flower fairy birthday party once, but it really was because Ellie and I thought she looked like the lavender fairy. And sure, we'd hang out a bit at other people's bowling parties and at sleepovers and stuff. We were Facebook friends. We had lots of people in common. We were totally friendly. But we were never actually friends. So, when she said, "God bless America," it almost felt like I was meeting her for the first time in my life. Imagine finding out that there was someone else in the world who knew a secret that only you knew. It was like an invisible bridge had instantly been built connecting us. Or like we had stumbled onto a tiny door in the back of a wardrobe and an accordion-playing faun had welcomed us to Narnia. How I received my second surprise of the day. Before Summer and I could say anything else on the subject of the accordion man, Mrs. Antonabi brushed her hands together and said it was time to get to work. We spent the rest of the rehearsal time, since there was only half an hour left, listening to Mrs. Antonabi give us a quick overview of the dance, while also periodically checking the weather app on her phone. We didn't really do any actual dancing, just some basic steps and a little rough blocking. "We'll start getting into it next time," Mrs. Antonabi assured us. "I promise I won't be late. See you Friday. Stay warm. Be careful going home. Bye, Mrs. Antonabi. Bye." As soon as she was gone, Summer and I came together like magnets, talking excitedly at the same time. "I can't believe you know who I'm talking about," I said. "God bless America," she answered. "Do you have any idea what happened to him?" "No, I asked around and everything." "I did too. No one knows what happened to him. It's like he just vanished off the face of the earth."
"It's like who vanished off the face of the earth?" asked Jimena, looking at us curiously. I guess the way we were squealing and carrying on, it did seem like something major had just happened.
I was still kind of keeping my distance from her because of before, so I let Summer answer. "This guy who used to play the accordion on Main Street," said Summer, "in front of the A&P on Moore. He was always there with his guide dog. I'm sure you must have noticed him. Whenever you'd drop money into his accordion case, he'd say, 'God bless America.'"
"God bless America," I chimed in at the exact same time.
"Anyway," she continued, "he's been there for forever, but a couple of months ago, he just wasn't there anymore."
"And no one knows what happened to him," I added. "It's like this mystery."
"Wait, so this is a homeless person you're talking about?" asked Jimena, kind of making the same ew face Savannah makes sometimes. "I don't know if Gordy's homeless, actually," Summer answered.
"You know his name?"
I asked, completely surprised.
"Yeah,"
she answered matter-of-factly.
"Gordy Johnson."
"How do you know that?"
"I don't know. My dad used to talk to him," she answered, shrugging. "He was a veteran, and my dad was a Marine, and was always like, 'That gentleman's a hero, Summer. He served his country.' We used to bring him coffee and a bagel on the way to school sometimes. My mom gave him my dad's old parka."
"Wait, was it an Orange Canada Goose parka?" I said, pointing at her.
"Yes," Summer answered happily.
"I remember that parka," I screamed, grabbing her hands.
"OMG, you guys are totally geeking out," Jimena laughed. "All this over a homeless guy in an orange parka?"
Summer and I looked at each other. "It's hard to explain," said Summer, "but I could tell she felt it too. Our connection over this. Our bond. It was our version of the Big Bang."
"Oh my God, Summer," I said, grabbing her arm. "Maybe we could track him down. We could find out where he is and make sure he's okay. If you know his name, we should be able to do that."
"You think we could?" asked Summer, her eyes doing that little dancing thing they did when she was super happy.
"I would love that."
"Wait, wait, wait," said Jimena, shaking her head. "Are you guys serious? You want to track down some homeless dude you barely know?" She acted like she couldn't believe what she was hearing.
"Yes," we both said, looking at each other happily. "Who barely knows you?"
"He'll know me," Summer said confidently.
especially if I tell him I'm Sergeant Dawson's daughter. Will he know you, Charlotte? Jimena asked me, her eyes narrowing doubtfully. Of course not, I answered her quickly, just wanting her to stop talking. He's blind, stupid! The moment I said it, everything got quiet. Even the radiator, which had been making all these loud banging noises in the performance space until then, suddenly fell silent, as if the performance space wanted to hear my words echo in the air. He's blind, stupid. He's blind, stupid. He's blind, stupid. Another vomit of words. It's almost like I was trying to get Jimena Chin to hate me. I waited for her to hit me with a sarcastic comeback, something that would slap me like an invisible hand across the face. But instead, to my utter and complete amazement, she started to laugh. Summer started to laugh, too. He's blind, stupid, she said, imitating the way I had said it exactly. He's blind, stupid, Jimena repeated. They both started cracking up. I think the horrified look on my face made it even funnier for them. Every time they looked at me, they laughed harder. I'm so sorry I said that, Jimena, I whispered quickly. Jimena shook her head, wiping her eyes with the palm of her hand. It's fine, she answered, catching her breath. I kind of had that coming. There wasn't a trace of snarkiness to her right now. She was smiling. Look, I didn't mean to insult you earlier, she said. What I said about Augie, I know you're not only nice to him in front of teachers. I'm sorry I said that. I couldn't believe she was apologizing. No, it's fine, I answered, fumbling. Really? She asked. I don't want you to be mad at me. I'm not. I can be a total jerk sometimes, she said regretfully, but I really want us to be friends. Okay. Aw, said Summer, stretching her arms out to us. Come on, guys, group hug. She wrapped her fairy wings around us, and for a few seconds, we came together in an awkward embrace that lasted a second too long and ended in more giggles. This time, I was laughing too. That turned out to be the biggest surprise of the day. Not finding out that people have noticed me. Not finding out that Summer knew the accordion man's name. But realizing that Jimena Chin, under her layers and layers and layers of snarkiness and mischief, could actually be kind of sweet when she wasn't being kind of mean. How we got to know each other better. The next few weeks flew by, a crazy blur of snowstorms and dance rehearsals and science fair projects and studying for tests and trying to solve the mystery of what had happened to Gordy Johnson. More on that later. Mrs. Antonabi turned out to be quite the little drill sergeant, lovable in her own cute, waddly way, but really pushy, like we could never practice enough for her. Drills, drills, drills. On point, shimmy, hip roll, classical ballet, modern dance, a little bit of jazz, no tap, downbeat, half toe. Everything done her way, because she had a lot of very specific dance quirks, things she obsessed about. The dances themselves weren't hard. The twist, the monkey, the watusi, the pony, the hitchhike, the swim, the hucklebuck, the shingling. But it was doing them exactly the way she wanted us to do them that was hard. Doing them as part of a larger choreographed piece, and doing them in sync. That's what we spent most of our time working on. The way we carried our arms, the way we snapped our fingers, our turnouts, our jumps. We had to work hard on learning how to dance alike, not just together. The dance we spent the most time working on was the shingling. It was the centerpiece of Mrs. Antonabi's whole dance number, what she used to transition from one dance style to the next. But there were so many variations to it. The Latin one, the R&B one, the funk shingling. It was hard not to mix them up. And Mrs. Antonabi was so particular about the way each one was danced. Funny how she could be so loosey-goosey about some things, like never once getting to a rehearsal on time, and yet be so strict about other things, like, God forbid you do a diagonal chassé instead of a sideways chassé. Uh-oh, careful,
The world as you know it might end.
I'm not saying that Mrs. Aunt Nobby wasn't nice, by the way. I want to be fair. She was super nice, reassuring us if we were having trouble with a new routine.
Small steps, girls. Everything starts with small steps.
Surprising us with brownies after a particularly intense workout. Driving us home when she kept us rehearsing too late. Telling us funny stories about other teachers. Personal stories about her own life. How she'd grown up in the barrio. How some of her friends had gone down a wrong path. How watching American Bandstand had saved her life. How she'd met her husband, who was also a dancer, while performing with Cirque du Soleil in Quebec. We fell in love doing arabesques on a tightrope 30 feet in the air. But it was intense. When I would go to sleep at night, I had so much information bouncing around my head. Bits of music, things to memorize, math equations, to-do lists. Mrs. Aunt Nobby sang in her smooth East Harlem accent, "It's the shingling, baby!" There were times when I would just put my headset on to drown out the chatter in my brain. I was having so much fun, though, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Because the best part about all the crazy rehearsing and Mrs. Aunt Nobby's drills and everything else, and I don't want to sound corny, was that Ximena, Summer, and I were really starting to get to know each other. Okay, that does sound corny, but it's true. Look, I'm not saying we became best friends or anything. Summer still hung out with Augie. Ximena still hung out with Savannah. I still played dots with Maya. But we were becoming friends. Like, friend friends. Ximena's snarkiness, by the way, was completely put on. Something she could take off whenever she wanted to. Like a scarf you wear as an accessory until it starts feeling itchy around your neck. When she was with Savannah, she wore the scarf. With us, she took it off. That's not to say I didn't still get nervous around her sometimes. OMG, the first time she came over to my house, I was a complete wreck. I was nervous that my mom would embarrass me. I was nervous that the stuffed animals on my bed were too pink. I was nervous about the big-time Rush poster on my bedroom door. I was nervous that my dog, Suki, would pee on her. But of course, everything turned out fine. Ximena was totally nice, said I had a cool room, offered to do the dishes after dinner, made fun of a particularly hilarious photo of me when I was 3, which was fair, because I look like a sock puppet in it. At some point during that afternoon, I don't even know when it was, I actually stopped thinking, Ximena Chin is in my house, Ximena Chin is in my house, and just started having fun. That was huge for me, because it was a turning point, the moment I stopped acting like an idiot around Ximena. No more word vomits. I guess that was when I took my scarf off, too. Anyway, February was intense, but awesome. And by the end of February, we were pretty much hanging out at my place every day after school, dancing in front of the mirrored walls, self-correcting, matching our moves. Whenever we'd get tired or discouraged, one of us would say in Mrs. Aunt Nobby's accent, "It's the shingling, baby!" And that would keep us going. And sometimes we didn't rehearse. Sometimes we just chilled in my living room by the fire doing homework together, or hanging out, or, occasionally, searching for Gordy Johnson. How I prefer happy endings. One of the things I miss the most about being a little kid is that when you're little, all the movies you watch have happy endings. Dorothy goes back to Kansas, Charlie gets the chocolate factory, Edmund redeems himself. I like that. I like happy endings. But as you get older, you start seeing that sometimes stories don't have happy endings. Sometimes they even have sad endings. Of course, that makes for more interesting storytelling, because you don't know what's going to happen, but it's also kind of scary. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the more we looked for Gordy Johnson, the more I started realizing that this story might not have a happy ending. We had started our search by simply Googling his name. But, it turns out, there are hundreds of Gordy Johnsons. Gordy with a Y. Gordon Johnsons. Gordy with an IE Johnsons. There's a famous jazz musician named Gordy Johnson, which we theorized could explain the rumor the eye shot man had heard about our Gordy Johnson. There are politician Gordon Johnsons, construction worker Gordon Johnsons, veterans, lots of obituaries. The internet doesn't distinguish between names of the living and names of the dead. And every time we clicked on one of those names, we would be relieved that it wasn't our Gordy Johnson, but sad that it was someone else's Gordy Johnson. At first, Jimena didn't really join in the search. She would be doing her homework or texting Miles on one side of the bedroom while Summer and I huddled around my laptop, scrolling through page after page of dead ends. But one day, Jimena pulled her chair next to ours and started looking over our shoulders.
"Maybe you should try searching by image," she suggested,
which we did. It was still a dead end. But after that, Jimena became as interested in finding out what happened to Gordy Johnson as we were. How I discovered something about Maya. Meanwhile, at school, everything was business as usual. We had our science fair. Remo and I got a B+ for our cell anatomy diorama, which was more than I thought we would get, considering I spent as little time on that project as possible. Jimena and Savannah built a sundial. The most interesting one was probably Augie and Jack's, though. It was a working lamp that was powered by a potato. I figured Augie probably did most of the work, since, let's face it, Jack's never been what one would call a gifted student. But he was so happy to have gotten an A on it. He looked so cute! Like a little happy but somewhat clueless emoticon. And this was my emoticon when I saw him. A smiley face with hearts for eyes. By the end of February, the boy war had really escalated, though. Summer filled me in about what was going on, since she had the inside scoop on everything from Augie and Jack's point of view. Apparently, and I was sworn to secrecy, Julian had started leaving really nasty yellow post-it notes for Jack and Augie in their lockers. I felt so bad for them. Maya felt bad for them, too. She had become obsessed with the boy war herself, though I wasn't sure why at first. It's not like she had ever made any attempts to be friends with Augie, and she always treated Jack like a goofball. Like back in the days when Ellie and I would point out how cute he looked in his artful Dodger top hat, Maya would stick her fingers in her ears and cross her eyes, as if even the thought of him repulsed her. So I figured her interest in the war had to do with the fact that, quirky as she was, Maya had a good heart. It was only one day at lunch, when I saw her hard at work on some kind of list, that I understood why she cared so much. In her notebook, where she designs her dot games, she had three rows of tiny post-its with the names of all the boys in the grade. She was sorting them into columns, Jack's side, Julian's side, neutrals. "I think it'll help Jack to know he's not alone in this war," she explained. That's when I realized, Maya has a little crush on Jack Will. "Aw, that's so cute!" "Sweet," I answered, not wanting to make her self-conscious. So I helped her organize the list. We disagreed about some of the neutrals. She ultimately gave in to me. Then she copied the list onto a piece of loose-leaf paper and folded it in half, then in quarters, then in eighths, then in sixteenths.
"What are you going to do with it?"
"I don't know," she answered, pushing her glasses back up her nose. "I don't want it to get in the wrong hands."
"You want me to give it to Summer?"
"Yes." So I gave the list to Summer to give to Jack and Augie. I think Summer might have assumed that I had made the list myself, which I didn't correct because I had helped Maya work on the list, so I thought it was fine.
"How's the dance stuff going?"
Maya asked me in her flat-voiced way that same day. I knew she was just trying to be polite, since she couldn't care less, but she was good that way. At least she made an effort to act interested. "Crazy," I answered, biting into my sandwich. "Mrs. Antonabi is absolutely insane."
"Huh, Mrs. Madanabi," said Maya.
"Yeah," I said, "good one."
"It's like you've been hibernating the whole month of February, though," said Maya. "I've barely seen you. You never walk home with us after school."
I nodded. "I know. We've been practicing at lunchtime lately, but we'll be done soon enough. Just a few more weeks. The gala is on March 15th.
"Beware the Ides of March,"
she said.
Oh, yeah, right, I said, though I had absolutely no idea what she was talking about.
So, want to see the sketches for my newest colossal dot game?
Sure, I answered, taking a deep breath. She pulled out her notebook and launched into a detailed explanation of how she had stopped using grid patterns for her dots and was now using chalk art-style graphics to create murals, so that when the dots got filled in, they would have a dynamic flow pattern, or something like that. The truth is, I had trouble following what she was saying. The only part I heard for sure was when she said, "I haven't brought my new dot game to school yet, because I want to make sure you're around to play it."
"Oh, sweet," I answered, scratching my head. I couldn't believe how bored I was at the moment.
She started saying something else about the dots, and I glanced over at Summer's table to distract myself. She, Jack, and Augie were laughing. I could guarantee you one thing, they weren't talking about dots. There were times when I really wished I had the guts to just go and sit with them. Then I looked over at the Savannah table. They were all laughing and having a good time, too. Savannah, Ellie, Gretchen, Jimena, all talking to the boys at the table across from them. Julian, Miles, Henry, Amos.
"Isn't she awful?" said Maya, following my glance.
"Ellie?" I asked, because that's who I was looking at that exact moment.
"No, Jimena Chin."
I turned around and gave Maya a look. I knew she hated Jimena, but for some reason, the way she had said it, in this seething tone, just surprised me.
"So what is this thing you have against Jimena Chin?" I asked. "It's Ellie who ditched us, remember? It's Savannah who hasn't been nice to us."
"That's not true," Maya argued. "Savannah's always been nice to me. We used to have playdates all the time when we were in lower school."
I shook my head. "Yeah, but Maya," I said, "playdates don't count. Half the time, our moms set those up. Now we get to choose who we want to hang out with. And Savannah is choosing not to hang out with us. Ellie is choosing not to hang out with us. Just like we're choosing not to hang out with some people. It's not that big a deal. But it's certainly not Jimena Chin's fault." Maya peered over her glasses at the Savannah table. As I watched her, I realized she still looked exactly the way she did in kindergarten, when we would have tetherball games in the playground or go on fairy quests in the park at sunset. In some ways, Maya hadn't grown up that much since then. Her face, her glasses, and her hair, they were almost identical to what they used to be. She was taller now, of course, but almost everything else remained unchanged, especially her expressions. They were exactly the same.
"No, Ellie used to be nice to me," she answered very surely, "just like Savannah was. I blame it all on Jimena Chin."
How February Made Us Money, Too. By the end of February, we'd made $36. Mrs. Aunt Nobby had been late to every single rehearsal. Every single one. It got so that she would actually come to rehearsal with crisp dollar bills already in her hands to give us. She would literally show up, begin talking, hand us the money without even acknowledging it, and start the dance class. It was almost like it was the price of admission, what she paid to get through the door. So funny. Then, at one point halfway through the month, she herself suggested upping the amount of the penalty she would give us for being late from $1 to $5. This, she assured us, would definitely keep her from being late in the future. But of course that didn't work either. And now, instead of coming to rehearsal prepared with crisp $1 bills in her hand, she would come in with crisp $5 bills, which she simply dropped on top of our backpacks by the door without saying a word. The price of admission. Swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. God bless America. Even Jimena said that now. How Jimena Made a Discovery. Ascension Transcends by Melissa Krotz, NYT, MuseTech, February 1978. Ascension, in its world premiere at the Nelly Regina Theater, is the stunning debut by choreographer Petra Echevarri,
recent graduate of Juilliard and winner of the Princess Grace Award, a mesmerizing reinterpretation of the dance fads of the 60s, as seen through the Kodachromic lens of the author's childhood in NYC's Barrio. This piece is a riveting and joyful homage to the scratchy, catchy, and soon-to-be-lost tracks of the decade. Chock full of breathtaking leaps and innovative steps that belie Ms. Echevarri's own training in the classical style, the work takes one particular dance, the shingling, and creates a visual narrative through which the rest of the work weaves.
"The reason I chose the shingling as the centerpiece of this dance," explains Echevarri, "is because it's the only one of the dance fads of the time that actually evolved over the years to reflect the musical styles and genres of the musicians and dancers interpreting it. There are so many types of shingling: Latin, soul, R&B, funk, psychedelic, and rock and roll. It's the one dance that intersects every genre, the common thread. Growing up in the 60s, music was everything to me and my friends. I didn't have money for dance lessons. American Bandstand was my dance teacher. Those dance fads of the era were my training." Echevarri didn't begin formal dance training until the age of 12, but once she did, there was no looking back. "Once I got into performing arts and then Juilliard," recalls Echevarri, "I knew I could do it. I could defy the odds. None of my neighborhood friends did. The hood is a tough place to leave."
When asked why she chose the shingling as the main theme of her dance, Echevarri grows wistful.
"A couple of years ago, about a month before graduating from Juilliard, I attended the funeral of a childhood friend, one of those girls who used to come to my house for bandstand. I hadn't seen her for years, but I'd heard she was in a bad way, had gotten in with the wrong crowd. Anyway, her mother saw me at the funeral and said her daughter had made a gift for me. A graduation present. I couldn't imagine what it was."
Echevarri holds up a cassette tape.
"This girl had made me a tape of every shingling song from our childhood. Every single one. Chinatown by Giusti Barreto. Shingling Shingling by Keiko and his orchestra. Sugar Let's Shingling by Shirley Ellis. I've Got Just the Thing by Lou Courtney. Shingling Time Baby by the Liberty Bells. El Shingling by the Latines, Shingling by Arthur Conley, Shingling by Audrey Winters, Nobody But Me by the Human Beings. An incredible song list. I don't even know how she recorded some of them, but when I heard these songs, I knew I was going to create a dance woven around them."
The three dancers in the piece, all recent graduates of Juilliard themselves, bring a distinctive vocabulary to the montage, drawing viewers into an experience that is at once life-affirming and joyful, without any bubblegum sentimentality. This lack of artifice owes as much to the rousing arrangement of songs, which blend seamlessly together, as it does to Echevarri's poignant narrative, modern dance at its best. How We Texted. Thursday, 9:18 p.m. Amanda Chin. "Did you guys see the article I emailed you?" Charlotte Cody. "OMG. Is that really Mrs. Antonabi?" Amanda Chin. Smiley face. Surprised face. Crazy, right? Charlotte Cody. "Are you sure? Who is Petra Echevarrara?" Amanda Chin. "It's her maiden name. That's her. Trust me. I was Googling Gordy Johnson tonight and got bored and started Googling Petra Atanabi."
Summer Dawson. "I just read the article. Unbelievable. That's the dance we're doing. Ascension."
Amanda Chin.
"I know. Amazing."
Charlotte Cody. "She looks so young and pretty in that photo."
Summer Dawson. "Aw, that's so sweet, Amanda."
Amanda Chin.
"What?"
Summer Dawson.
"That you were Googling Gordy Johnson."
Amanda Chin.
"Yeah, well, now I'm curious, too. I want to know what happened to him already."
Charlotte Cody.
"I shouldn't say this, but my mom thinks that maybe he's dot, dot, dot."
Summer Dawson.
"Oh, no! I think my mom thinks so, too. Minichin. Sorry, guys. I sort of think maybe I agree.
Charlotte Cody.
R.I.P. Gordy Johnson? Weepy face?
Summer Dawson.
No!
Charlotte Cody.
I don't believe it.
Summer Dawson.
Me neither.
Imanichin. Kay. Forget I said anything.
Summer Dawson.
Said what?
Charlotte Cody.
Smiley face.
Imanichin.
On completely unrelated note, do you guys want to sleep over at my house tomorrow night?
Charlotte Cody.
Yeah! Let me ask my mom.
BRB.
Summer Dawson.
Sounds fun. Just us?
Imanichin.
Yeah. Come at 6?
Summer Dawson.
Okay.
Charlotte Cody.
My mom says fine so long as your parents home?
Imanichin.
Notch.
Charlotte Cody.
My parental unit, who is at this moment violating my personal space and reading my text over my shoulder, wants me to finish my homework, so I GTG. See you tomorrow. Good night.
Summer Dawson.
Nighty night.
Imanichin.
Till tomorrow. Can't wait. XO.
How we went to Himena-chin's house. It was the first time we went to Himena's house. Up until then, we'd always hung out at my house or Summer's apartment. Himena lived in one of those luxury high-rises on the other side of the park. It was a doorman building, very different from the apartments I was used to in North River Heights. Most of those are brownstones, or small apartment buildings that are over 100 years old. Himena's apartment was ultra-modern. The elevator opened directly into the apartment.
Hey,
said Himena, waiting for us in the foyer.
Hey,
we said.
Wow, this is beautiful,
said Summer, looking around as she dropped her sleeping bag in the hallway. Should we take our shoes off?
Sure, thanks, said Himena, taking her clothes. I can't believe it's snowing again.
I dropped my sleeping bag next to Summer's and pulled off my Uggs. A woman I'd never seen before came in from the living room.
This is Luisa, said Himena. This is Summer, and that's Charlotte. Luisa's my babysitter.
Hi, we both said. Luisa smiled at us.
So nice meet you,
she said in halting English. And then said something in rapid-fire Spanish to Himena, who answered by nodding and saying gracias.
You speak Spanish?
I said, astonished. We were following Himena over to the kitchen counter.
Himena laughed. You didn't know? Himena's such a Spanish name. You want something to drink?
I thought it was Chinese, I answered truthfully.
Water's great.
Me too, said Summer.
My dad's Chinese, she explained, filling 2 glasses full of water from the refrigerator door. My mom's Spanish, from Madrid. That's where I was born.
Really? I said.
That's so cool.
She set the cups of water in front of us while Luisa brought over a tray full of snacks.
Muchas gracias,
Summer said to Luisa.
Muchas gracias,
I repeated in my terrible American accent.
You guys are so cute, said Himena,
dipping a carrot stick into a little tub of hummus.
So, did you grow up in Madrid?
I asked. Besides dancing and horses and Les Mis, the thing I love most in the world is traveling. Not that I had ever done any traveling. Yet. So far, we'd only gone to the Bahamas once, Florida, and Montreal. But my parents are always talking about taking us to Europe someday, and I plan on becoming a professional traveler after I'm done being a Broadway star.
No, I didn't grow up there, answered Himena. I mean, I spend summers there, except for last summer when I did the ballet intensive here in the city. But I didn't grow up there. My parents both worked for the UN, so I kind of grew up all over the place.
She took a bite of the carrot stick.
Crunch.
Rome for 2 years. Then before that, we lived in Brussels. We lived in Dubai for a year when I was about 4, but I don't remember that at all.
Wow, said Summer.
That's so cool, I said. Himena tapped on the glass she was drinking from with her carrot stick.
It's okay,
she said. But it can be kind of hard, too, moving around. I'm always the new kid in school.
Oh, yeah, Summer said sympathetically.
I survived, Jimena answered sarcastically. I'm not about to complain. She took another bite of her carrot stick.
So, do you know other languages? I asked.
She held up 3½ fingers as an answer, since her mouth was full. And then, after she swallowed, she elaborated. English, because I always went to American schools. Spanish, Italian, and a little bit of Mandarin from my grandmother.
That's so cool, I answered.
You keep saying, that's so cool, Jimena pointed out.
That's so uncool, I answered, which made her laugh.
Luisa came over to Jimena and asked her something. Luisa wants to know what you guys would like for dinner, Jimena translated. Summer and I looked at each other.
Oh, anything is fine, Summer said very politely to Luisa. Please don't go to any trouble.
Luisa raised her eyebrows and smiled as Jimena translated. Then she reached over and pinched Summer's cheek affectionately.
¡Qué muchachita hermosa! She said.
And then she looked at me.
¡Y esta se parece a una muñequita!
Jimena laughed. She says you're very pretty, Summer. And Charlotte, you look like a little doll. I looked at Luisa, who was smiling and nodding.
Aw, I said, that's so nice.
Then she walked away to start dinner for us.
My parents will be home about 8 p.m., Jimena said, waving for us to follow her.
She showed us the rest of the apartment, which looked like something out of a magazine. Everything was white. The sofa, the rug. There was even a white ping pong table in the living room. It made me a little nervous about being klutzy, which I have been known to be, and accidentally spilling something. We made our way down the hall to Jimena's room, which was probably the biggest bedroom I've ever seen that wasn't a master bedroom. My bedroom, which I shared with Beatrix, was probably 1/4 the size of Jimena's bedroom. Summer walked into the middle of the room and made a slow spin as she took it all in.
Okay, this room is actually as big as my entire living room and kitchen combined, she said.
Oh, wow, I said, walking over to the floor-to-ceiling windows. You can see the Empire State Building from here.
This is, like, the most beautiful apartment I've ever seen, said Summer, sitting down in Jimena's desk chair.
Thanks, Jimena said, nodding and looking around. She seemed a little embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been here since this summer, so it doesn't quite feel like home to me yet, but...
She plopped down on the bed. Summer pulled the rolling chair up to the giant bulletin board in the back of Jimena's desk, which was completely covered with tiny photos and pictures and quotes and sayings.
Oh, look, a Mr. Brown precept, she said, pointing to a cutout of Mr. Brown's September precept.
He's, like, my favorite teacher ever, answered Jimena.
Mine too, I said. What a cute picture of you and Savannah, Summer said.
I went over to see what she was pointing at, in between the dozens of little pictures of people from Jimena's life, most of whom we didn't recognize, were camera booth-type photos of Jimena and Savannah, plus Jimena and Miles, Savannah and Henry, and Ellie and Amos. When I saw Ellie's picture up there, I have to admit, it was kind of strange for me. Like I saw her in a different light. She really did have this whole new life.
I have to get a picture of you two for my wall, Jimena said.
Oh, come on, said Summer, in her cute, disapproving fairy way as she pointed to a picture on the board. Jimena!
It took me a second to realize she hadn't said, oh, come on, in response to what Jimena had just said.
Oh, sorry, said Jimena, making a guilty face.
At first, I didn't know what the problem was, since it was just our homeroom class picture. Then I realized that over Augie's face was a tiny yellow post-it with a drawing of a sad face. Jimena pulled the post-it off the picture.
It was just Savannah and those guys fooling around, she said apologetically.
That's almost as bad as Julian's mom photoshopping the picture, Summer said.
It was from a long time ago. I forgot it was even there, said Jimena.
I was so used to the dimple in her left cheek by now but I never confused when she was serious with when she was joking anymore. I would say her expression right now was definitely remorseful. Look, the truth is, I think Augie's amazing.
But you never talk to him, said Summer.
Just because I'm not comfortable around him doesn't mean I'm not amazed by him, explained Jimena.
At that moment, we heard a knock on the open door. Luisa was holding a little boy in her arms, who had obviously just woken up from a nap. He was probably about 3 or 4 years old and looked exactly like Jimena, except for the fact that it was very obvious he had Down syndrome.
Hola, Erudito,
said Jimena, beaming. She held her arms out to her little brother, who Luisa deposited into her arms.
These are my friends, mis amigas. This is Charlotte, and that's Summer. Say hi. Di hola.
She took Edwardito's hand and waved it at us, and we waved back. Edwardito, who had still not completely woken up, looked at us sleepily while Jimena planted kisses all over his face. How we played Truth or Dare.
The day I found out my dad died, Summer said. The three of us were lying in our sleeping bags on the floor in Jimena's bedroom. The ceiling lights had been turned off, but the red chilly Christmas lights that were strung all around the room gave the walls a pink glow in the dark. Our pajamas glowed pink. Our faces glowed pink. It was the perfect lighting for telling secrets and talking about things you would never talk about in the daylight. We were playing a truth or dare game, and the truth card that Summer had drawn read, "What was the worst day of your life?" My first instinct had been to put the card back and tell her to draw another one, but she didn't seem to mind answering it.
I was in Mrs. Bob's class when my mom and grandma came to get me, she continued quietly. I thought they were taking me to the dentist, since I'd lost a tooth that morning. But the second we got inside our car, my grandma started to cry. And then Mom told me that they'd just found out that Dad had been killed in action. Daddy's in heaven now, she said. And then we just all cried and cried in the car, like these huge, unstoppable tears. She was fidgeting with the zipper of her sleeping bag as she talked, not looking at us. Anyway, that was the worst day. Jimena shook her head. I can't even imagine what that must be like, she said quietly.
Me neither, I said.
It's kind of a blur now, actually, answered Summer, still pulling at the zipper. Like, I honestly don't remember his funeral. At all. The only thing I remember about that day is this picture book about dinosaurs that I was reading. There was this one illustration of a meteor streaking across the sky over the heads of the Triceratops, and I remember thinking my dad's death was like that. It's like the extinction of the dinosaurs. A meteor hits your heart and changes everything forever. But you're still here. You go on. She finally got the zipper to unstick and pulled it up all the way to close her sleeping bag. But anyway, she said.
I remember your dad, I said.
Yeah?
She said, smiling.
He was tall, I answered, and he had a really deep voice. Summer nodded happily. My mom told me all the moms thought he was so handsome, I said. Summer opened her eyes wide.
Aw,
she said. We were quiet again for a few seconds. Summer started straightening up the card decks.
Okay, so whose turn is it now?
She asked.
I think it's mine, I answered, flicking the spinner.
It landed on truth, so I pulled a card from the truth deck.
Oh, this one's so lame, I said, reading aloud. What superpower would you like to have and why?
That's fun, said Summer.
I'd want to fly, of course, I answered.
I could go anywhere I want, zoom around the world, go to all those places Jimena's lived in.
Oh, I think I'd want to be invisible, said Jimena.
I wouldn't, I answered.
Why?
So I could hear what everyone says about me behind my back and know that everyone thinks I'm such a phony?
Oh, no, laughed Jimena. Not this again.
I'm teasing, you know.
I know, she said, but for the record, no one thinks you're a phony.
Thank you.
Just a faker.
Ha!
But you do care too much about what people think of you, she said, somewhat seriously.
I know, I answered, just as seriously.
Okay, it's your turn, Jimena, said Summer. Jimena flicked the spinner. It pointed to truth. She picked up a card, read it to herself, then groaned. If you could go out with any boy in your school, who would it be? She read aloud. She covered her face with her hand. What? I said. Wouldn't it be Miles? Jimena started laughing and shook her head, embarrassed. Whoa! Summer and I both said, pointing at her. Who? Jimena was laughing. It was hard to see in the dim light, but I'm pretty sure she was blushing. If I tell you, you have to tell me your secret crushes, she said. Not fair, I answered. Yes, fair, she said. Fine. Amos, she said, sighing.
No way, said Summer, her mouth open wide. Does Ellie know?
Of course not, said Jimena. It's just a crush. I wouldn't do anything about it. Besides, he's not into me at all. He really likes Ellie.
I thought about that. How just a few months ago, Ellie and I would talk about Jack. Having a boyfriend seemed like such a far-off thing back then.
Jimena looked at me. I think I know who Charlotte's crush is, she said in a sing-songy way. I covered my face. Everybody knows, thanks to Ellie, I said. What about you, Summer? Said Jimena, poking Summer's hand.
Yeah, Summer, what about you? I asked.
Summer was smiling, but she shook her head no. Come on, said Jimena, pulling Summer's pinky. There's got to be someone.
Fine, she said. She hesitated. Reed.
Reed? Said Jimena. Who's Reed?
He's in Mr. Brown's class with us, I answered. Very quiet, draws sharks.
He's not exactly popular, Summer said, but he's really nice, and I think he's very cute.
Oh, said Jimena. Of course I know who Reed is, duh. He's totally cute.
He is, right? Said Summer.
You'd make a great couple, said Jimena.
Maybe someday, answered Summer. I don't want to be a couple yet.
Is that why you didn't want to go out with Julian? Asked Jimena.
I didn't want to go out with Julian because Julian's a jerk, Summer answered quickly.
But you weren't really sick on Halloween, right? Said Jimena. At Savannah's party?
Summer shook her head. I wasn't sick.
Jimena nodded. I thought so.
Okay, I have a question, I said to Jimena, but it's not from the cards.
Oh, said Jimena, raising her eyebrows and smiling. Okay.
I hesitated.
Okay. When you say you're going out with Miles, what does that really mean? Like, what do you do?
Charlotte, said Summer, smacking my arm with the back of her hand.
Jimena started laughing. No, I just mean, I said.
I know what you mean, said Jimena, grabbing my fingers. All it means is that Miles meets me at my locker after school every day, and he walks me to the bus stop sometimes. We hold hands.
Have you ever kissed him? I asked.
Jimena made a face like she was sucking on a lemon.
She wasn't wearing her contacts now, just big tortoise-framed glasses, as well as a retainer she was supposed to wear at night. She didn't look at all like the Jimena Chin we were used to seeing in school.
Just once, at the Halloween party.
Did you like it? I asked.
I don't know, she answered, smiling. It was a little like kissing your arm. Have you done that? Kiss your arms.
Summer and I obediently kissed our arms, and then we all started giggling.
Oh, Jack, I said, making slurpy noises while I kissed myself up and down my wrist.
Oh, Reed, said Summer, doing the same thing.
Oh, Miles, said Jimena, kissing her wrist. I mean, Amos. We were cracking up.
Mija,
Jimena's mom said, knocking on the door. She poked her head in.
I don't want the baby to wake up. Can you keep it down a little?
Sorry, Mommy, said Jimena.
Good night, girls, she said sweetly.
Good night, we whispered.
Sorry.
Should we go to sleep now? I said softly.
No, let's just be much quieter, said Jimena.
Come on, I think it's your turn now, Summer. Truth or dare?
I have another question that's not on the card, too, said Summer, pointing to Jimena. For you.
Uh-oh, you guys are ganging up on me, laughed Jimena.
We haven't done any dares yet, I pointed out.
Okay, this is the dare, said Summer. You have to sit at my lunch table on Monday, and you can't tell anyone why.
Oh, come on, said Jimena. I can't just ditch my table without saying why.
Exactly, answered Summer. So choose truth.
Fine, said Jimena. So what's the truth?
Summer looked at her. Okay, truth. If Savannah, Ellie, and Gretchen hadn't gone skiing this weekend, would you still have asked Charlotte and me to the sleepover tonight?
Jimena rolled her eyes. Ugh. She puffed her cheeks out like a fish. You look like Mrs. Aunt Nobby now, I pointed out.
Come on, truth or dare? Summer pressured her.
Okay, fine, Jimena said finally, hiding her face behind her hands. It's true. I probably wouldn't have. Sorry.
She peeked out at us from between her fingers.
I was supposed to go skiing with them this weekend, but then I didn't think it was worth my possibly twisting an ankle or something right before the dance, so I canceled at the last minute, and then I invited you guys over.
Aha, said Summer, poking Jimena in the shoulder. I knew it. We were your plan B for this weekend.
I started poking her, too. I'm sorry, said Jimena, laughing because we had started tickling her. But it doesn't mean I don't want to hang out with you guys, too.
Have you had any other sleepovers in the last month? Summer asked.
We were tickling her a lot at this point.
Yes, she giggled. I'm sorry. I didn't invite you to those either. I'm not good at mixing my friend groups, but I'll get better next year, I promise.
Do you even like Savannah? I said, giving her one last poke. Jimena made a face that I realized was a perfect imitation of Savannah's ew expression. Now Summer and I started laughing.
Shh, said Jimena, patting the air to remind us to keep quiet.
Shh, said Summer.
Shh,
I said. We all settled down. Okay, I have to admit, Jimena said quietly. She's been really annoying ever since I started spending time with you guys rehearsing. She was so mad when she wasn't picked for the dance.
Probably mad that I got picked instead of her, said Summer.
Actually, no, she was mad at Charlotte, Jimena answered, pointing her thumb at me.
I knew it, I said.
Jimena leaned her head on one shoulder. She said, and this is her talking, not me, that you always get the good parts in shows at Beecher Prep because the teachers know you were in TV commercials when you were little, and that you try really hard to always be a teacher's pet.
What the heck?
I said, stupefied.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Jimena shrugged. I'm just telling you what she told me and Ellie.
But Ellie knows that's not true, I said.
Trust me, answered Jimena. Ellie never says anything to contradict Savannah.
I don't get why she's always hated me, I said, shaking my head.
Savannah doesn't hate you, Summer answered, reaching over to take Jimena's glasses off of her face.
I think, if anything, she's probably always been a little jealous of you and Ellie being best friends.
Really? I said. Why?
Summer shrugged. She tried on Jimena's glasses. Well, you know, you and Ellie tended to be kind of cliquey. I think Savannah probably felt a little left out.
This had never, ever occurred to me. I had no idea anyone felt that way, I said. I mean, seriously, no idea. Are you sure? Did other people feel this way? Did you?
Summer let the glasses fall to the tip of her nose. Kind of, but I wasn't in any of your classes, so I didn't care. Savannah was in all your classes.
Wow, I said, biting the inside of my cheek, which is a nervous habit I have.
I wouldn't worry about it, though, said Summer, putting Jimena's glasses on my face now. Doesn't matter anymore. You look really good in those.
I don't want Savannah to hate me, though, I said.
Why do you care so much about what Savannah thinks? Asked Jimena.
Don't you care what she thinks? I asked.
Let's face it, you're different when you're around her, too.
That's true, said Summer, taking the glasses off my face. She started cleaning them with her pajama top.
You're much nicer when you're not with her, I said.
Jimena was twisting her hair with her finger. Everyone's a little mean in middle school, don't you think?
No,
said Summer, putting the glasses back on Ximena's face.
Not even a little?
Ximena answered, raising her right eyebrow.
No,
Summer repeated, adjusting the glasses so they were straight.
No one has to be mean, ever.
She leaned back to inspect the glasses.
Well, that's what you think because you're a saint, teased Ximena.
Oh my gosh, if you call me that one more time, laughed Summer, tossing her pillow at Ximena.
Summer Dawson, you did not just hit me with my favorite 800-fill power European white goose-down pillow, did you? Said Ximena, standing up slowly.
She picked up her own super fluffy pillow and raised it in the air.
Is that a challenge?
Summer asked, standing and holding her pillow up like a shield. I stood up excitedly, holding my pillow in the air.
Pillow fight!
I said, a little too loudly because I was excited.
Shh!
Ximena said, holding her finger over her mouth to remind me to keep it down.
Silent pillow fight!
I whispered loudly. We spent one long second looking at one another to see who would strike first, and then we just started going at it. Ximena brought her pillow down on Summer. Summer struck her from below. I made a long side swipe at Ximena. Then Ximena came up and swung at me from the left, but Summer spun around and struck us both from above. Soon we were smacking each other with more than just pillows. The stuffed animals on Ximena's bed, towels, our rolled-up clothes. And despite our trying to be completely silent, or maybe because of it, since there's nothing funnier than trying not to laugh when you want to laugh, it was the single best pillow fight I've ever had in my entire life. The thing that stopped it, or else it might have gone on too long, was the mysterious trumpet blast of a fart that came from one of us. It stopped the three of us in our tracks as we looked at each other, eyes open wide, and started laughing hysterically when no one took credit for it. Anyway, 2 seconds later, Ximena's mom knocked on the door again, still sounding patient, but also obviously a little irritated. It was way past midnight. We promised her we would go to sleep now and we wouldn't make any more noise. We were out of breath from laughing so hard. My stomach actually hurt a little. It took us a while to straighten out our sleeping bags and put the stuffed animals back where they belonged. We folded our clothes and returned the towels to the closet. We smoothed out our pillows and lay down in our sleeping bags and zipped them up, and then we said goodnight to one another. I think I probably would have fallen asleep right away, but I got a case of the giggles, and then Summer and Ximena started giggling. We kept trying to shush one another by cupping our hands over each other's mouths. Finally, once the giggles had passed and it got quiet again, Ximena started singing really softly in the dark. At first, I didn't even realize what she was singing. She was singing so quietly. No, 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 no. Then Summer took up the song. No, 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 no. Finally, I realized what they were singing and sang. No, 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 no. Then we all started whisper singing together. Nobody can do the shingling like I do. Nobody can do the skate like I do. Nobody can do the boogaloo like I do. We were lying on our backs side by side as we sang and made our arms and hands dance in sync above our heads. And we sang the whole song from beginning to end as quietly as if we were praying in church. How our Venn diagrams look. I know. I spend too much time thinking about this stuff. Winky face. In Charlotte's circle. Not popular. Not considered that pretty. Frowny face. In Summer's circle. Does not care what other kids think about her. Popular for real. Everyone loves her. In Ximena's circle. Popular. Has boyfriend. Not that nice to everyone. Wears a bra. In the circle Charlotte and Summer share, no boyfriend, nice to everyone, no bra. In the circle that Summer and Ximena share, super pretty. In the circle that Ximena and Charlotte share, cares what other kids think about us. love Les Mis. In the circle we all share, love shingling, loves dogs, on honor roll.